was over.
See, it was now, fun. No matter what we say, like right now, anything goes. No holds bar. Like after the clap, it might be on the show. Who knows?
Oh, I see. So I just have to take it on your word that everything I said before is like off the record.
Right.
Oh,
I hope so. Eric, don't you?
You have my word, Kat.
Yeah. All right, good.
He likes Theon, so that's not saying very much.
Oh. I wondered when that would get brought up on this episode that I might be
Why
the only
Why don't we
person.
Just start the show right now, everybody? It's
Let's
Game of Thrones. Kat Taylor is here.
Yay! How you doing?
We need like a choir to start singing your name right now. We can work that out. Micah, please hire someone to do this.
All right, I'm on it. Or as right. one person on Twitter referred to her as, my dear cat of the white cloak.
Ooh.
How do you respond to that?
If they knew me at all, they'd know that there's no possible way I could keep white clean for more than 5 minutes. I'm kind of a disaster in that whole being a girl arena.
Me too. We have so much in common already.
But I do like this idea of a soundtrack. If somebody could arrange something with like country music and a banjo, that would make me very happy.
I will officially stand outside of your window with the boombox, all right? You're not the first person on the show that I've promised this to, but I think that we can work this out. Because I need to visit Northern Ireland.
Sure. Well, that's like a fair trade, you know?
Right.
I have my John Hughes moment. And then, you know.
And then I get to visit Northern Ireland. I'm like, and you're like, this is where they blew stuff up. This is where they also blew stuff up.
About 16 people died over there.
Ooh. Well, not really. Well, maybe. It's a crazy show. Well, here's the thing. We have known of you because we do this thing called The Show. And so some of our listeners might not be completely aware of your existence because maybe they just are casual listeners. Or maybe they live underneath seven kinds of rocks. But we're really, really, really excited to have you on the show today.
Well, I am delighted to be here. It's really nice to have a chance to talk to people that I sort of stalk on Twitter. So that's all.
I know. I used to stalk Eric on Twitter for so long, and finally we have a show together.
That's
it's so
beautiful.
Exciting.
Now we're co-hosts.
Yeah. Oh, it's almost as good as The Princess Bride.
It's almost as good. No, Eric, you always say that you're like that poison guy, right?
The poison guy?
Yeah, the guy that I forget. That's a private conversation.
But I do say that everything is better with Gary Ewells in it. In fact, I'm waiting for his Game of Thrones appearance, and it hasn't come yet, has it?
But you're pitching yourself as Vincini. That's really weird.
Yeah, there you go. So for the people listening at home, or if they're in their car, or if they're commuting on their way to work while wearing Seven Hand of the King pins, how could you best describe your role in the Game of Thrones universe? Because you said like recently some things have changed, and so what can you tell us?
Okay, well, I can tell you for the first two seasons that I was on the show, which was season two and season three, my role was assistant to David Benioff and D.B. Weiss, who some of you guys may know. I don't know. I mean,
who's that?
You know, so many names, Kat, come up at the beginning of every episode and during the title sequence. There's like 1,000 names.
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard to keep track of everybody. But yeah, so I work for the executive producers / writers / everythings, which is an amazing thing to be able to do. I mean, I was so fortunate to get the job. I still sort of pinch myself a little bit, because for me, that meant getting to see sort of the development process and getting to go along on recces. And then obviously, you know, being on set when some of these really significant moments were being filmed and just seeing it from a completely different perspective, which was just amazing. And then my involvement with the more external aspects came when Brian Cogman, who, again, some of you may have heard of, became more involved with the story editing and obviously was writing episodes and sort of doing a lot of on-set work. Didn't really have the time to devote to writing the blog that he was sort of focusing on other things. And I had been sort of asking if there were more things I could do. And they said, well, why don't you give this one a whirl? And HBO were amazing and gave me a shot. And so I started writing the behind the scene blogs. And that's kind of how I ended up with you lovely people.
That's clearly the end result.
She's like, finally, I'm here.
Screw the Emmys. This is what I wanted.
Everyone has awards.
We actually call them the Goonies.
There
Love
you
it.
Go.
So that I did that. And then the only other thing that I sort of picked up from Brian as well was I write the Raven Scrolls, which some people may know. I don't know how many people know about this, but because the show, we go into so much detail, every written document, every map, every visual thing that's on the show is accurate to the story. So if somebody's writing a letter, what's in the letter fits with what's happening on the screen.
So it's not just Lauren Ipsum Todor.
Yeah. It's not like someone writing swear words or being like...
Unless there are swear words in the text, and that makes complete sense.
Absolutely. So Brian used to write the content, and then I took over doing those last year as well. So that's also part of what I do. And a new project this year, which I can't really talk about yet, but it's very exciting, and hopefully... Hopefully we'll talk about that later, maybe another time. Who knows?
So this, you mentioned the blog, Kat. Is that like the official production diary? Is that over at makinggameofthrones.com or is that something else?
That is makingofgameofthrones.com, okay. Which is obviously hosted by HBO itself. And all of the fans know, obviously HBO Go has do amazing behind scene works and EPK, it's sort of inside the episodes.
Yeah, those are great.
They're fantastic, and they put so much work into them. And I watch them and go, oh my God, I didn't know that. mine is more the kind of like actual day to day experience of what it's like to be on the floor, basically. Mm-hmm. And hopefully, one of the things I'm hoping to do this year is write more. Different locations and things, so we'll see what happens.
We've seen some really legendary photos from your blog, mm-hmm. from that perspective. I remember it was probably like a year and a half ago, maybe a year ago, and I was seeing some of the first like people being dead battlefield. On the battlefield,
and we were all sharing them
around. I'm like, well, what the hell is this? Because at that point, we hadn't got that far in our book review in the show, and so it's really cool. And the idea that you're going to be able to have access to more of this, because season 4 is going to happen. And season 3 is happening. That's pretty exciting.
Well, all credit has to go to Helen Sloan for those photographs, who's our unit photographer. And her stuff is, I think it's just beautiful and amazing. And, she's most of the pictures that you would have seen that are Northern Ireland and Iceland are her work. So most of the stuff you would have seen would have been taken by her. So
my favorite thing about that blog, though, is I love it. But the favorite thing is the overheard on set. I think those are always hilarious.
I think for one, people do still kind of occasionally quote some of the things that have been said. I think the favorite seems to be, I will sword you.
I will sword you.
Like, yeah, I mean, that was really funny because, you know, these extras are amazing. They mm-hmm. come to set, they get paid a little bit of money, but not like a huge amount. And the shooting days can be really long, and sometimes they have to get their hours before to get like hair and makeup. And particularly when you've got a battle scene, you're talking not sort of 10 guys, you're talking like hundreds of people. And they stand there in the rain, and you ask them to cheer and they cheer, and you ask them to do it again and they do it again. And, you know, it's just, they just do it. And they do such a great job, and we're really, really lucky because they do all those wonderful things. But it is quite funny because you do overhear some things from the guys, and you just sort of think, God, like, you should just stick around all day because this would make things a lot easier.
Isn't it great to see them get so into character? Like, even if they don't have a character, it's just the story is so engaging that you can like imagine yourself in that world.
Absolutely. And a lot of the people who are extras, they grow their hair and their beards specifically so they can be extras on the show. And they have extras that keep coming back season after season after season. And they just have this enthusiasm, and they're just really fantastic. And we're very lucky to have that available to us.
So how do we go about being extras on the show? Because I don't think any of us,
any
of the four of us can grow a beard successfully.
I can grow a beard.
It may take about 6 months.
I haven't lost hope yet, Micah. I'm still working. Well,
Erica's probably trying. 2 weeks. Yeah, Selena's, I think, probably second or third. In this. Uh-huh. Yeah, it'll be good. We'll put it together. No, I can see us working in some kind of an outdoor sword fighting scene where we're just kind of fighting amongst the four of us. You know what I'm saying? Like, that'd be cool. Swords and shields. Just let us know.
Just you guys.
Yeah, just us, just four of us.
Just a particular scene with these people here, and we all have really strange sigils, and no one quite knows who it is.
Yeah.
It gets lost in the shuffle, though, because, I mean, this season we're seeing, like, 17 new characters. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's so exciting how busy everything has been, and we're having a great time. I'm particularly making this show because we've got the commentary episodes that we're doing in the middle of the week. And then every Monday we're putting out these episodes where we have someone from Winners Coming come on and we're talking about the actual show. And I mean, it must be exciting for you guys having made this and seeing the ratings steadily climb this season.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I can't, you know, comment as to the ratings. That's not really sort of
my
particular purview, but
it's still exciting.
It's still exciting, and what's really amazing is getting a chance to see the episodes when they've been put together, you know, because we don't film episodically. So, you know, you'll do one scene from one episode, and then it could be 3 or 4 weeks before you go back to that episode. So, you know, it's really interesting to see how it's put all together and the way that the story plays out. And for me as well, when you do see really impressive moments being filmed, to then see that translate to screen, that's really rewarding to see how well it turns out.
So with that said, are you primarily tied to one location or do you spend time in different places?
Well, we have a large number of locations across Northern Ireland. So in terms of Northern Ireland, I go wherever we happen to be filming. So if that's Ballintoy Harbour, I go there. If that's the studios in Belfast, I go there. And we really are all over Northern Ireland. And I've been very fortunate both years that I've been on the show and we've been filming, I've been able to go to Iceland, which is why a lot of the coverage that I do is of Iceland. Right. I haven't gone to Croatia or Morocco. Because generally they sort of send one assistant to look after people. And I've been predominantly with David and Dan, and quite a lot of their episode, in fact, the majority of their episode was filmed either in Northern Ireland or Iceland. So obviously I go where they go. So, you know, I would say my location is more dependent on what's happening in terms of where people are rather than in terms of location itself.
Have you been keeping up with this season? I mean, I assume you've been watching every week.
Well, I may have access.
Yes.
Please tell us more.
Why is it everyone we speak to has this access? How do we get this access?
It's just too much. But my question was going to be, of the four that everybody has seen, has one of them been a particular favorite of yours?
Well, in all honesty, I mean, it's difficult for me because you see so many different elements of it. You love moments and mm-hmm. love storylines mm-hmm. as much as you love episodes. But I would say in this series, I would probably go with episode 3, mm-hmm. not just because David directed it, but because
I see.
Because I was with the guys when that was being filmed, I saw so much of it being filmed that it's the one that resonates for me the most because I've seen so much of it.
That makes sense. Yeah.
And, right. You know, there's that rather astounding Jamie hand mm-hmm. butchery.
I just don't know what you're talking about. Please tell me more.
Am I supposed to say spoiler alert?
No, it's already happened. It's like if it's on the show, we're like, okay, you guys clearly, if you're listening to Game of Thrones, chances are you've seen the episode.
Yeah, and Selena and I dropped hints for about a year.
Oh my
beforehand.
God, I know. The hands
Ever
no
since
pun.
I've
ridiculous.
Known you, I'm like 14 and Mike is like, so this episode we're going to do is really handy, huh?
Yeah, well, I have to say, I found out that I got the job before Eddard Stark met his fate, and I knew the story, and I
had
read.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, I can't imagine. You know that thing that happened that time with that guy?
Okay, got it.
And it was hilarious because I had a number of friends who had heard of the show but hadn't seen it because obviously in the UK it's on Sky Atlantic, which is a subscription channel. So some people didn't necessarily have access to it. And so I had a whole bunch of friends going, oh my God, it's so exciting. I can't believe it. You're going to work with Sean Bean. And I was like, Yes! Yes, I am. It's going to be awesome.
Oh,
he's going to come back for flashback scenes, of course, right?
There you go. Were you a fan of the series before? I mean, because you're talking about Sean Bean and Eddard. Did you read the books before it came out, or have you kind of just kept up during all of this?
Well, I would definitely say, I mean, I had read the first three before I even knew that this series was being filmed here.
Oh, wow.
And then, I'm a nerd.
And the club.
The right place. Yeah.
I think I'm amongst my people.
Yeah.
I'm a great big sci-fi and fantasy nerd. I have always loved that sort of genre. And so I did know the books, and I certainly have read them more often now that I'm on the show.
Right. This was really exciting.
Yeah, you do reread the book that you're about to start filming, so you always want to be up to date with your because there's so many characters, you kind of have to remind yourself a little bit how it all fits together.
Sure.
I think book five came out, I think like 2 months after I got the job, because that was 2011. So I think it would be July, I think, Dragons came out. Anyway, yeah.
Sounds about right.
So I had some catching up to do once I had the job, because I had to read four and then five. But
wow. Yeah. A lot of pages.
Yeah.
A little light reading. It's homework, but it's probably the best kind of homework. You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool.
Do you feel then that the third book is kind of the overwhelming favorite?
No.
God, that's really hard. I think everybody has their own favorites. I think it's probably the one that people talk about the most because of some things that happen with some people at some point.
Oh, there you go.
Nice. Wow.
That was
well done.
Good.
I feel so informed now about the third book.
I have to be really careful because obviously, you know, I don't want to say anything for people who maybe haven't read the books. Ahem. I think there's certainly been a feeling that this is the one that the show has been geared towards, but I mean, it still gets pretty exciting, and there's some storylines that I feel sort of come into their own a little bit once the next books come into play.
I'm so glad you say that, because this has been my thing all along. I'm just like, guys, it's gonna keep going. Don't get too excited about season three, because there's more. Which storylines are you most into from the books?
From the books, well, it's tough because obviously the books are what I know. Mm-hmm. And then for me, I really am excited about Arya.
That's a good answer.
Well, no, it's a good answer, but from watching the show, from not having read the books, for me, I'm like, okay, her storyline could be going somewhere, but maybe not. I'm excited to see that it goes somewhere.
It's going somewhere.
Worthy of being one of the most favorite.
It might be going to Tim Hortons on 9th. You don't know.
Tim Hortons, thank you. There we go. That'll be between us.
Yeah. Oh, Canada. What can I
yes,
say?
Exactly. It's such good coffee. Anyway.
Yeah, it is.
It really is.
I am really, really excited about Arya. I think it's going to be really interesting to see what happens there. But then, you know, I kind of attach myself to characters that maybe aren't necessarily as obviously interesting. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm kind of...
Theon Greyjoy, perhaps?
Theon Greyjoy?
I wasn't actually Theon. I'm kind of interested in, like, Jorah. I'm interested to see what happens there. Mm-hmm. And... I part of my heart will belong to Brienne forever, because
yes!
I just think she's a character. I love her so much. And then, you know, I'm really excited about the Tyrells, because I think that's an interesting new power dynamic. Ooh. So these are all things I'm looking forward to. But I think the standout storyline for me that I'll be following very, very closely will be Arya.
They did a really great show introducing the Tyrells on they just such a great job introducing them on the show, especially for people that are not quite living in the world that we are, being so entrenched in the whole series. Just a casual viewer, I felt like they were implemented so well, and it's just kudos and props to the filmmaking team, because it was smooth and it didn't feel like, oh, here's a later season and here's some more people. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Well, I do work for some like disgustingly talented people. It's kind of
right. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
God damn them all. No,
God damn them all.
I think that is the thing, is that it's a really good introduction, but it's not, you know, it's not an obvious introduction. It's not like, and now there's a man coming from a place we haven't heard of before. You know, it's very organic, and I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, they did a great job. Well, it's been great having you on, Kat.
Is Ara your favorite character then, and Brienne?
I do love them, but I have to say, I absolutely, and I don't know if it's partly to do with the portrayal that the actress in question has brought to the character, but I'm kind of obsessive about Lady Olyanna. I really like, uh-huh. I just think she's amazing, and I just kind of want to grow up and be just like that.
She is amazing.
I always want to be able to see the full map when everybody else is kind of catching up. I mean, I just think it's an awesome character.
And that's, again, the Tyrells coming in and being awesome, you know?
Just coming in and being awesome. Yeah. I mean, it must be genetic. Who knows?
Yeah.
So obviously, like, Tyrion, you can't not love Tyrion because it's such an amazing character. And Peter's amazing. And he's the sort of so smart and so funny that it's really charismatic character.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of, I mean, I pick weird favorites. I love the Samwell character, and I kind of love Bronn too.
Bronn is amazing.
Bronn is just like that guy who sits there and calls you on your shit, and I just think that's awesome.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the coolest things about this show, though, and it is an ensemble cast, but there are so many good characters that have, you know, the time, you know, they've spent the time to develop them, and you can just kind of go in and pick your favorites, and everybody just kind of wind up with a little bit of a different group of favorites per person.
This
is really, really cool.
A little bit, yes.
Just a tiny. Yeah,
it's the mark of a good story, and it's a mark of good character development that people that are in real life are reading a piece of fiction and aligning themselves with a fake character. That's really cool.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I think, as you say, like, there's so many wonderful characters, it means that people can sort of associate themselves with different aspects of the show and in what appeals to them. And, you know, I personally as well love the fact that there are so many amazingly complex, dynamic, and sort of intelligent women on this show, because I don't think there's many shows that have as many as we do. Like, I really don't. And so, despite the violence and the unpleasantness, you know,
compared to Mad Men, for example, that's being played on the same night, there's vast differences between the two.
Absolutely. Yeah, mm-hmm. No question. So, I mean, I love that about our series. And I think that's why so many of my favorite characters or favorite moments tend to be about the women, because I'm just like, yes, finally. You know?
I was wondering what you think of Varys and Baelish. I mean, I remember in season one, we've had this discussion a lot on the show about how we thought that these guys are such major players in the entire series, but they don't necessarily see as much screen time as all the others. But you can tell that they're working behind the scenes.
Absolutely. I mean, I think the one thing I would say about this series, and if you're a book reader, you know this is true of the books as well, is that just because somebody maybe isn't as prominent for part of a book or part of a season doesn't mean that they won't be, or doesn't mean that, you know, you won't discover through other ways that they have been involved in things. So, I mean, I think they're both fantastic characters, and I think they play off against each other so well. I would just say, you know, I would assume that you'll be seeing more of them.
Yeah.
My favorite characters aren't doing so well. We have currently. So yes, I relate. Like, I like watching these, you know, Varys and Baelish, but my two favorite characters, just so you know, are Sir Davos of Seaworth, and he's tied up at the moment, and Theon, who is also tied up again at the moment. Again,
I thought you gave up on Theon last week. Didn't you like say you were done with it? washing. You said you're washing your hands.
I said nothing good can come of his story.
His card is punched. His card is punched.
Yeah, he's not in good shape. I don't think he's going to rebound from where he's at currently.
Right.
Why are they, just out of interest, like they're fantastic characters, but why those two guys?
Why those
two?
It's a good question.
I don't know. I'm into the bromance between Stannis and Davos. I think there's something like Davos very clearly cares for Stannis greatly. And, you know, he was able to come to him at Dragonstone and have the gall to you know, still try and kill Melisandre. So I was really into him and his sort of story of survival. And then for Theon, I always felt like he was a bit of an underdog and people are like, yeah, but he's such an asshole. He killed the kids and all this other stuff. But I'm just thinking like in general, I still kind of feel bad for him because he hasn't really found his destiny. And it was a little too late, you know, by now for him to really kind of, even though the last episode he had that realization that Ned Stark was his dad, you know, all along should have gone with that instead of the Ironborn. It's too late. You know, he's going
to
get,
he's still strapped to a cross.
Yeah. So unfortunately, yeah, I root for the underdog, I guess, in a way. I don't know.
And everybody else, who are your other favorites? Ooh. I'm so curious now. I want to know.
Well, I have so many. I feel like I pick a new favorite every week.
But, well, Brienne is a constant, I feel like.
I think you're playing it right if you're picking a new
one. Yeah, I mean, Brienne and Jaime, I love the two of them. That's a bromance that I can get behind.
There you go.
And then I love Daenerys, and I have to say, I loved that moment. The way she's been in the past few episodes has made me so happy, because back in season two, people were like, oh, but maybe she's not that great. And I was like, no, she's amazing. So I'm glad that I'm sort of being vindicated right now about her. I love Arya as well. I think those four are probably my favorites. And then I also have a soft spot for Ser Barristan, which is so random, but I love him. And whenever he came back, you know, in the books, whenever we didn't know who he was for the longest time, and then we found out who he was, and I was so excited.
Oof. Tyrion, so, yeah. Lannister, he's a good guy.
Of course.
Strong character. I'm going to also have to go with Daenerys now, because she has just become amazing. And that, I mean, I don't even have to say it. Everyone listening, you've watched the show, you understand. She has a destiny. While everybody else is doing God knows, mm-hmm. she's commanding armies and flying with dragons. So that's pretty cool. Also, Rob, just because I love the Starks, and right now he's the king in the North, and that's pretty damn cool. And you know what I mean? King in the North. It's like, well, hell yeah, Rob. Good for you. You're not even that old. You got the chin hair. It's wonderful. I'm rooting for you, sir. And
crown and facial hair.
What more does a girl and boy need, right? Joffrey just needs to catch up. I think it would have fixed a lot of his problems. It's so hard to say. I love the Queen of Thorns. I love what Sansa's becoming. I love Margaery. It's really, there's too much. Yes. So
what you're saying is you're fickle.
No, what I'm saying is I'm a big fan of the series, is what I'm saying. It's hard for me to, there's so many people and they're so different. And I don't really directly relate to any one of them. Mm-hmm. And so it's hard for me to pick one.
Yeah. And I think it changes too, like depending on what happens.
Yeah, it does.
Storylines, you're like, I'm on your team. Oh, right. I hate you.
Well, like
I
what Selena's saying, I was completely, I thought Dany was the most boring character last season. And a lot of people did too. I mean, but this is what happens. This is, mm-hmm. it's all mm-hmm. been made up for.
Well, I think a perfect example could even be Jaime. I feel like a lot more people now might start getting on his side, whereas before, he was the guy who threw Bran out the window.
Exactly. Right?
I've kind of always partially been on Jamie's side just because he's so cool. You know what I mean?
That kid deserved it. He lied to his mommy.
My sister, not a fan of Jamie. She didn't know the series. She hadn't read the books. And so I obviously, when I sort of worked on the show, I made her watch the first episode. And she called me and she went, okay, so what you're telling me is you're working on a show about incest and murdering children.
You should have said yes, absolutely.
that must have been a hard pilot to sell. or maybe surprisingly not, as HBO goes.
Yeah.
And Cersei's cool.
Yeah, she
is. Cersei is really cool.
And she becomes a point of view character a little bit later on in the series. So, but for me, I mean, it's interesting because even doing the commentaries that we've been doing recently, King Robert, I mean, is just such an awesome character just from his personality. And I don't know if it translates as much through in the books, but definitely in the TV show. I mean, Mark Addy was fucking awesome. I mean, he just had some of the best lines. he just played that character so well.
Yeah, the way he bounced off of Lancel, I mean, that was some good shit. They need their own separated series, I think.
That'd be good.
Yeah. I didn't know we were going to people that were dead. I was going to say the guy that ran away from the wall. He was pretty cool for a while.
Yeah.
As long as he lasted.
Yeah, he was. I mean, he was smart enough to GTFO, so that's pretty nice.
And who can't not mention Podrick now with his new storyline? Can you shed some light on this?
Oh my god.
Actually, that'd be really nice.
Yeah, please do.
No, please, Kat.
Wouldn't it be really worrying if I could?
I didn't mean it like that.
No, I mean, whatever. We have an internal bait in the show. We're like, is this a joke? Or is there more shit to this? Is this just a long, drawn-out joke where they're like, guys, old bear just died. More terrible things are happening. We're going to give you this joke. It's like they're holding it out in their hand. Take this joke. And we're like, please extend it over 3 episodes. We're going to need something.
Well, I can't answer that question entirely honestly because I don't know. It could be, but I don't think so. I think it's just one of those things where it's a moment that is probably best left to the imagination.
There you go.
Oh, we're never going to know, guys.
We'll have Daniel on the show and we're like, finally tell us now once and for all. And he's going to be like, I don't know either.
I will tell you this, the set where the brothel is built is a really beautiful old building in Northern Ireland. But it's not a film set. It's not built for filming. So it's a very claustrophobic set because you have to get the crew and the cameras and the dolly tracks and the lighting rigs and everything. And when they're doing the walkthrough, that's through a corridor that's actually a corridor. So you literally have like 4 feet to stuff everybody into.
Wow. Yeah.
So, you know, it all looks very casual and sort of everyone's having a really good time, but what you don't know is there's like 15 people standing on top of each other just right behind the camera. So
that could be why the Podrick thing happened off screen.
No, come on.
Dude, we don't need
that. That's not why it happened off screen.
As long as like next episode or 3 episodes down the line, Rob doesn't get a raven at River Run saying, oh, and he turns to his uncle and is like, oh, did you hear about Podrick?
Yeah, Danny gets
the Tyrion Lannister's servant boy.
There's a squire in King's Landing who had it with 3 prostitutes and they didn't charge him.
I can say at no point was I asked to write the content for that scroll.
Okay. Wow. There you go.
All right.
You know who's been writing a lot of on this show is Tywin this season.
That's true. He has been. Did you write any of that stuff?
I did. Yep.
Some of us may know where those letters are going. Others may not.
Some of you may.
This is fun.
And those of you who may know might be interested to know that I actually asked for a copy of that particular scroll to keep for myself.
Oh,
nice.
This is a bunch of bullshit. Yeah. All right. What's the funniest stuff that's happened on set? I gotta know, because you're talking about 4-foot corridors. I can only imagine these giant digital cameras are, you know what I mean? Like, there's some stuff that's happening.
Yeah, I mean, of course there is. Some of it I absolutely cannot tell you. But
it's like a fraternity.
Absolutely not. It's like, what happens in Westeros stays in Westeros.
I was thinking that.
Right.
You just titled this episode.
There you go.
Excellent. Boom. Sweet. My work here is done. I am writing these sort of behind the scenes reviews of the episodes, and I think one of them went up, and there was, you know, the horse chase scene in episode 3 of series 3 was very complicated. It was actually in 3 separate locations, so it was cut and pieced together so that we went through the forest and over these hills, and the top chase in the open fields was filmed at the very, very, very top of an extremely high track in Tollymoor Forest.
Is that Middle Earth?
It is in Middle Earth.
Okay, good.
We had to wait for them to clear out, because seriously, elves? No.
Yeah, right? It sounds like I'm questing in Warcraft. Kat's like, yeah, we have to go to Tollymoor Forest today.
Yeah, and cross a man's palm. It's silver. So that, you know, it's really high up. It was crazy because we had to go up in 4x4s and jeeps. And it took 20 minutes from base camp to get up there. And so, you know, they sort of, the horses had to get up there and everything. And the Lord portrait. It's a really stressful scene. It's supposed to be absolutely terrifying. The chase is on. They're going at really high pace. It had been raining, so the you know it was wet, and you know the safety is always most important thing. So we had to kind of get it in a certain number of takes, so there was no sort of risks. And we have the Lord Torturer, who's a 6'5" horse stuntman, yelling the whole way down. Whee!
And it's like that's awesome.
That's and brilliant. Then
you know you you mentioned Darius and some actors certainly are very good at making people laugh at inopportune moments on set. So that's, you know, that always happens. And then I'm not going to mention any names because they would actually kill me, but one of our crew members fell over on an incredibly muddy day. Actually, the day when Arya and Gendry and Hot Pie meet the Brothers Without Banners, very, very wet, fell over in mud right at the beginning of the day, got soaked all the way through, and then had to spend the rest of the day wet gear and like socks.
Was it you?
Not me. I can absolutely promise you. In Iceland, I mean, it was there are some that our special effects guys are great, and they did. They set up a barbecue in one of the wildling tents. So they were like, hey, hot dogs for everybody.
Now that's craft services right there. That's a good way to utilize the set. Like, we so need to fill this in. We need some fire.
Yeah. So, you know, Kit's getting rocks thrown at his head, and everyone's like, hey, pass the mustard. You know, it's like,
could I have one of those?
I assume you're looking forward to getting started then on the next season.
We are in prep right now. Yeah. I'm back in the office. We're at very early stages right now. And, you know, they're still finishing off bits and pieces from the last season. But we are ramping up. We're getting ready to really start rolling. And it's going to be a big year. It's going to be an exciting year.
Life is cool, huh, guys?
Right?
Yeah.
It's just cool. Like, we're just talking about, oh, yeah, just ramping up on season 4. This is going to be a blast. And it's such an exciting television series to be a part of. And I, you know, from the 4 of us to the listeners, it just seems that there are hundreds of thousands and, you know, I guess millions of people that just love a story. And it's a really cool thing that you get to experience that, you know, and help make this come to be.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I really watch most other people do it.
Well, right. But no, still being part of the process, no, it's definitely cool.
You know, I've worked in different parts of the industry and I've worked on different sorts of things. And, you know, this really is, it's a moment. It feels like a moment, you know, and to be part of it is, it feels very special. And you do feel very kind of grateful that you were in the right place at the right time. And, you know, it's amazing. And for me as well, David and Dan are amazing people to work for because they're just really funny and intelligent and they, you know, they make the show really fantastic place to work along with all the other producers and crew and stuff. So it's an amazing work environment to be in. So yeah, it's really great. It's really exciting to be back.
Now, do you think that they will pull in things from the 4th book, you know, in the next season, just seeing as what might play out in season 3?
I don't know if I'm allowed to say. I think it would be safe to assume that things will be sort of moved around, but I couldn't say what being moved to where or sort of any changes that might happen because honestly, I don't know.
That's a good sort of thing in a way. That's a good thing for us not to know. Like, even though, of course, we're dying to know everything. For us who've read the books, I mean, one of the things I love about the show is that sometimes something happens and I'm going
like hold on a second.
Yeah, exactly. And then if something suddenly happened from book 4 in season 4, this is confusing in my brain, but yeah, I think that's right. Then I would be confused and I would love that because I want to be surprised, you know, I want to be thrown off and I definitely have been.
Be surprised.
there are things about this season in particular I wish that I hadn't read yet. Because just knowing what's coming, I think you're desensitized to it in a way. it's not as impactful if you know what's coming.
I don't know. I had a major fist pump moment with that Daenerys thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. I hadn't read that far into it, but when
that happened. I knew she wasn't going to give up the dragon, and I was still like, don't give up the dragon.
Yeah. I mean, I still always reference Ned. I go back to that scene, and I just remember going, what the fuck just happened? Like, did they really just do that?
Right.
I had to, like, go on the internet and make sure that it was real and...
I'm just disappointed because it happened to me once before with Boromir.
Oh, I know. It keeps happening.
Like, no, seriously, it sucks because I love Sean Bean as an actor and I think he did wonderful in Lord of the Rings. I think he did wonderful in Game of Thrones. And it's just like, I want to see him at the end wearing a crown, being happy, you know, or something.
I think that's sweet, but I also think it's naive because, come on, dude, it's Sean Bean.
I know.
I've seen GoldenEye. Okay.
And everything. Guys got more lives than a cat. Yes. Like, come on.
What's the new film that he's in, Eric? We both have seen it and he gets pulled apart, literally. And
The Black Death?
Yes. Spoiler alert. He gets pulled apart. So check that shit out.
You know, he was in a film with Kit Harington and he had actually a non-violent death. It was Silent Hill Revelation.
But he still died.
It was ambiguous. He walked. Sorry to spoil that.
Oh, wow.
Revelation
we're just spoiling all over the place.
Wait, you have to say spoiler alert before you...
We'll bleep it out.
We're working on this. But anyway, he was with Kit Harington, and that was fun, too.
And and in A Dance of Dragons, when Ned is brought back to life, he also dies again.
Whoops! Shit! Just for you guys listening, don't write into
then
that.
She was fired.
That's not real.
Selena,
we're going to get emails about that. It's like, it's not real. If it is real, then someone's going to be pissed. But I don't know.
Yeah, I hope you guys aren't planning that. Anyway.
We have been looking forward to having you on the show, though. It was a lot of fun.
Yes.
It's been pretty fun. I think that some of the people on Twitter that were very aware, because we've posted a lot of your stuff back in the past, of you being on, got a little excited. And we have some tweets from them.
Yeah.
Would you like to hear them?
Someone hits it.
It doesn't matter. We're going to play them anyway.
All right. Hit me with it.
All right, Micah.
All right. We'll go back to Scott. 4567, who referred to you as my dear cat of the white cloak, and he wants to know how much has been discussed among the writing staff about Rhaegar and Lyanna.
No comment.
Hear that, Scott?
I can't tell you what happens in the writer's room in LA. I don't know. I'm not there, so I honestly would not be able, hand to heart, to be able to comment on that in any way. Honestly, I can say I'm sure there have been conversations, but I don't know about them.
It's safe to say that they've talked about them.
It's safe to say that something has been promised.
They're in the book.
I'm sure at some point someone's pointed out that something's, you know.
Do you remember these characters, Rhaegar and Lyanna? We should talk about them.
But we have another tweet from Scott. He's double dipping here. He does not refer to you as dear cat of the white cloak, though. He says, the CGI guys do great stuff. Will we ever see a lengthy documentary of their work?
A lengthy documentary? Well, that's a kind of how long is a piece of string question.
Lengthy. Well, Bluebolt did put a video on YouTube for the first season, right?
Well, Pixamundo do a lot of the stuff now.
The newer stuff, right.
Yeah, so, I mean, they certainly, I believe there's going to be, well, from my point of view, I know there's going to be more coverage of them because I'm going to be writing it. But, you know, in terms of footage and things, I mean, I assume a lot of that stuff's going to end up on DVD extras and things. But as to an actual documentary, I don't know. Not sure.
You should make one, Scott. Make the documentary. Make it really lengthy, though.
They deserve it. They definitely deserve it. If for no other reason, they have the models of all the dragons in the office, and that's awesome.
D. Derry has another question, which is, do you film location by the location? And if so, how are directors credited since you're filming chunks of episodes at a time?
Oh, okay. Well, like I say, we don't film episodically. So a director might have scenes that are in Croatia and in Morocco and Iceland and in Northern Ireland. And we actually do have a magical person on set. And that is the
oh, wow.
that is
the magician in the box.
Yeah. No, we let him out. You know, actually. Oh, okay. I don't know how he does it, honestly, because last year particularly was extremely complicated because, as most of you know, we have two main units. We have Raven and we have Dragon and we have Wolf. And then last year we also had for 2.5 weeks or 3 weeks, we had Raven. So we were working three units at the same time. And a unit means you have a director and you have a DOP, and then you have the crew filming part of an episode. Nice. So I'm probably being a bit convoluted here, but to answer the question, taking, for example, Alex Graves, who directed the most recent episode, episode 4, you know, he went to Iceland to film his bits of episode 4, and then he would go to Croatia to film his bits in Croatia. So directors are credited for the episodes that they do. And yes, we do film location by location to a certain extent, in that obviously, you know, we can't spend the amount of time that we spend in Northern Ireland, also in Iceland and in Croatia and in Morocco, because we don't have the number of crew that would be required to run that number of units all simultaneously.
Right.
So Chris and our production team organize it. So last year we were in Iceland for just over 2.5 weeks, and in Croatia and Morocco for nearly 2 months, split between the two countries. So yeah, it's it is location by location, but two locations can be filming at the same time. And last year we had sort of three locations at the same time. So it's, yeah, that really is a how long is a piece of string.
It's so cool that you guys are so location based, and this, all of this isn't just happening on a soundstage somewhere. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really great that these particular directors, piece by piece, are going, like, for example, he went out to Iceland to film part of his scene or part of his episode when clearly not the entire episode was there. And that's really cool. That's a lot of care put into it.
Yeah.
Magic.
Yes. It's the only explanation.
So Kat, we got this, this particular tweet we wanted to bring to your attention. Just in case you're looking for a helper, Harley Meridian says, "I think Kat Taylor needs an assistant herself. I also think it should be me, or I'll be her scribe or cupbearer."
Aww.
Did you send that tweet, Eric?
No, it was me.
I did not send that tweet.
It wasn't me.
It was Selena.
That's really nice. I probably don't. You know, going back to the whole white cloak not being able to be kept clean, I'm pretty low maintenance. You know, I'm sort of fairly self-sufficient. That's really amazing. But I mean, I think anybody who's interested in the industry should find their way in. And, you know, I'm a big proponent of that. It took me, I did a lot of running and stuff. So I say, if you're interested in a show and you're passionate about it, you should go for it.
Yeah, get out on that track and run.
Run on that track and bring Kat Tim Horton's coffee. That's what it takes to be her cupbearer. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, if you can run with that all the way from Canada, then you...
Listen, it sounds silly, but it's really excellent. I don't know how it's so good.
It is good. They used to exist up in Syracuse when I was there. That's close to Canada, right?
Yeah, that's close enough.
That's really,
well, you know,
close.
What's really funny is they've started turning up at gas stations in Belfast and around Northern Ireland.
Really? That's so random.
I'm not even a coffee drinker, and I got really excited by it. And then my I did try it, and I was like, yeah, this is not it.
Right.
So, Kat, that concludes the tweets that we sourced for you, but we do know that you are on Twitter. You have your own Twitter handle, so we wanted to plug that really quickly, if you wouldn't mind.
You have your own Twitter?
What?
This is so cool.
This is revolutionary in 2013.
Well, listen, I need to know which one it is.
She's an independent woman.
Please share it with me.
So if you are interested in my ravings, you can find me on Twitter at @KatOnSet. All one word.
Just one word.
That's awesome that was available.
Yeah.
It's yours.
It's a sudden onset of Kat's.
Yeah, Kat's fun to follow on Twitter, guys. She posts lots of cool things. So
indeed. And our listeners of this show know that they can find us on Twitter. We're at twitter.com/gameofowns. And that's where we collected questions for Kat. And we'd love to have her back. We'd love to have others on. And every time we're always asking for questions. So you can tweet us at @gameofowns on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can. Mm.
Well, thank you guys so much for having me. It's been a lot of fun. It'll be interesting to see if I let anything slip that I shouldn't have.
Ooh.
No.
Don't worry about it. Nothing at all. And of course, if you're listening to this show, you most likely downloaded it on iTunes. So we appreciate you going over there and giving us a 5-star rate and review. Nothing less is acceptable. And Kat, you know, I don't want to start a trend here, but when we had Christian on the show, he delivered an epic threat that has not since been matched.
Yes.
I don't know if you know what it is, and it's not exactly appropriate to
say for it. If you don't give this podcast a 5-star review on iTunes, I'm going to come to your house and do to you what Pod did to those girls.
Guys,
the bar has been raised.
I have deleted my iTunes account. There is no way I'm going to be posting
this
a review.
Is Game of Thrones. Kat Taylor is a beautiful soul. We're so glad we had you on our show. I'm Zach Louie.
I'm Eric Skull.
I'm Selena Wilkin.
I'm Micah Tannenbaum.
I'll let Kat say her name.
And this is Kat.
Stay gooey.